together. Come on, if you love Jesus, lift your hands and lift your voice. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. You're a good God and you are good all of the time. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for the word of truth. Lord, we thank you for everyone that is here, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Evan and Lady Cherise, Lord. We thank you for what is happening here in this ministry. For this is a set place, set time, and a set ministry that you have set in place, Lord. And we give you the praise, the glory, and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. One more time, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Well, it's so good to see you today. Thank you for being here. And Pastor Evan, love him to pieces. Amen. And Lady Cherise, just so excited to be here and see them and spend some time with each one of you today. Amen. We're going to get ready to jump into the Word today. So if you have your Bible, would you hold it in the air? Wave it like you really care. Say, hey. This is my Bible. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I could have. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart's receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never, 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 never be the same. In Jesus' name, 2024 is a year of more. Everything God has for me and my family going to be my best year yet. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise all over this room. Amen. Before you're seated, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today that, you know, it's name by name, situation by situation. Ears are here to hear, hearts to receive, minds to comprehend. Father, every eye is open, every heart's receptive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Come on, give somebody a high five, a fist bump, your social security number, copy of your driver license. Amen, amen. You can be seated today. Well, word of truth, good to see you today. Amen. Wasn't it just a great worship service already today? Come on, let's give it up for our worship team and all those that make it special. Amen. And such an honor to be here with you. Listen, I want to let you get to know me a little bit. I will have a picture of my family. If they have that, they put that up there. Yeah, this is my family there. Look at there. It's our brand new addition. My grandson, Champion. My son, Chaston, and his wife, Gabby. She's Puerto Rican, and Champion don't have no Puerto Rican in him at all. Look at that. There's not an inch of Puerto Rican in him. Amen. And so then my daughter, Michaela, and that's my wife, my daughter, Michaela, then my other daughter, Addison. Just wanted you to see my family so you could get to know all of us. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise. Amen. I'm going to jump into the Word today. A couple months ago, I was praying, and we were stepping into a season in our church and getting ready for this new year. And as we were getting ready for the new year, I kept hearing the Lord speak to me and tell me, Chad, I want to do more in 24. Now, before you just throw that off to the side as sounds like a cliche, but that's what I kept hearing in my spirit, man, down in here, that God wants to do more in 24. Come on, somebody, put an amen on that. That God wants to do more spiritually, mentally, physically, in every area of my life, God wants to do more. He still has more. And that I've been made for more. Somebody say, God still has more in store. You've been made for more. And God wants to do more. That God is always wanting to take you further than you've ever been. God always wants to keep you longer than you planned on staying. God always has something better ahead than anything you've ever experienced, anything that is already behind you or anything that you're in the middle of. God always still has more in store. And as I was getting ready to come and speak here for this, and me and my wife are on a sabbatical as well at this time, and as Pastor Evan talked to me about coming, I said, sure, I want to be there. Because I believe I have a word for the church. I believe I have a word that's in a due season. You may not need this word right now, but God's word is always in due season. What does that mean? Whatever you need it, it'll be due season. It'll be at the right set appointed time. Somebody put amen on that. Because God, one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. And everybody knows God of Jehovah Jireh. But one of the other names of God is El Shaddai. Come on, not El Chifo, his name, El Shaddai. Somebody say, El Shaddai. Come on, you got to get the Holy Ghost in there like, El Shaddai. That means he's the God Almighty. In the Hebrew means he's the God that is too much. He's too much for you. He's the God Almighty. There's nothing impossible that he cannot do. He's too much God. In other words, he's a mighty God. He's a magnificent, a wonderful. He is too much. He's too great. He's too powerful. There's not a physical ailment that you and I could ever deal with that it is impossible that God can't take care of, that God can't fix, because he's almighty. He's all powerful. He is too much. And the Lord spoke to me in my spirit, said, Chad, if you'll believe me for more in 24, you'll have days in 24, in your family and in your life, that you will have an awe moment that you'll be like, oh my God, this is too much, God. You've done too much. This is exceedingly, abundantly, far above whatever I can imagine or think or ever ask God to do. Come on, somebody, put a big amen on that. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the God that is more than enough. See, you may be facing a marital situation and like, I don't know, Lord, if I could go any further with this. And I don't know how much I can deal with this, because sometimes where the enemy gets me or has tried to handicap me in the past is in situations in my life is like, God, I just don't know how much more I can handle of this. And every time it's because I've not had a full revelation or understanding of that he is the God of more than enough. Wherever y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Wherever I'm insufficient, wherever I'm weak, wherever I'm lacking, wherever I'm falling short, I serve El Shaddai. I have a God that is too much. He's a God Almighty. He's more than enough. Come on, somebody shout, he's more than enough. And that's what I want to get in your spirit today, that God, he's too much. He's too much for us. He's too much in any situation. If it's a financial, it's a family issue, a marital or physical or your children or your career, whatever it is, he's too much for that. In other words, he don't lack. He's not insufficient. He don't run short. He's not on barely get along avenue. He's on too much avenue. Everything he has, everything he is the God Almighty. He's too much. He's El Shaddai. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise. Amen. In other words, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I come to give you life and it more abundantly. Not just life. Some people are just doing life. They just want, man, you just got to learn to just do life. Let's just do life together. Let's just get through life. That is not the purpose that Jesus came. That's not why he was born. He came that you and I have life and it more abundantly. The Amplified says, till it is overflowing with too much of God. Too much of his presence, too much of his joy, too much of his peace, more than you can handle above and beyond. See, the problem with the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, when God was delivering them out of Egypt, if you allow me for a second, when he was bringing them out of Egypt, they was leaving a land of not enough. And he took them to the wilderness, headed to the promised land. that was a land of more than enough. They had to be willing to leave not enough to get to the wilderness that was just enough. Y'all ain't shouting with the preacher today. Come on, somebody. So they left not enough to get through just enough on their way to more than enough. See, the God that is El Shaddai God, the God that's too much, the God that is almighty, will always take you from what's not enough to get you through just enough so you can enjoy more than enough. But you know what the problem was? When they was leaving Egypt, they got to the wilderness, and because it was just enough, many of them thought to go back because it was taking too long. 11-day journey was 40 years. Because God always goes, if you don't learn to handle just enough, you'll never handle more than enough. If just enough's making you trip, boo-boo. If just enough's making you to go off. If just enough's struck. More than enough gonna mess you up. See, they thought God was taking them from Egypt, not enough, to the wilderness. He wasn't taking them from Egypt to the wilderness. He was taking them through. Here's what I learned. If you don't learn to grow through what you go through, you will never have breakthrough. I will say that again. If you don't learn to grow through what you go through, you will never have breakthrough. Somebody put an amen on that. Now, I don't got a lot of time here, so I'm just going to give you some points that God gave me for you today. Number one, if you don't let it go, you're only going to let it grow. See, the reason the children of Israel was still in just enough, but they were acting like they were still in not enough, is because even though God delivers you sometimes out of Egypt, you got to get Egypt out of you. Just because you're not in Egypt doesn't mean you don't walk like an Egyptian, think like it. See, I've been out of drug rehab, and I got saved in drug rehab. I got delivered in drug rehab. But there was a process that had to happen in my life. When I came out of rehab, came back into the world and back into society where I was having to be reintegrated back into society, even though I got freed from the rehab and delivered in drugs and all those things, I had to learn to handle what I was going through so I could enjoy the breakthrough God had for me, the promised land. See, just because you're out of Egypt, the wilderness is where the timeline where God was trying to get them to start letting go of what always kept them in bondage. Amen. Number two, if I learn to endure it, I'll be able to get to it. But God was wanting them to learn how to endure the wilderness. If you remember the story, they got started complaining. How long is it going to be? It was an 11-day journey, according to the map. It was like you and I putting our GPS, and how long is it going to take me to get from here to there? Well, according to the GPS and that, if you were to put that in, leaving Egypt to the promised land, your GPS would have told you it's going to take you 11 days to get there. Somewhere around day 10, or maybe 8, maybe 9, they started thinking to themselves, how much longer? Anybody have kids? You just pulled out of the driveway, headed to Six Flags or somewhere on vacation, and within 5 minutes, when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? You're like, we hadn't even got on the highway yet. Anybody other than me, amen? See, what God always wants to do, because just because they were in the land of just enough does not mean God was not still El Shaddai, the more than enough God. He was still was trying to get them to the land of more than enough. But the process he's trying to take us through sometimes, he's trying to still work out some things. Even though I'm out of the place I was in, I'm not who I used to be. But there's a process that God's still trying to get me through, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are not thoughts of evil. They are thoughts of peace. They are thoughts of hope. They are good plans I got for you. See, we live in a now society. I want it now, 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 now. We have, that's why there's microwaves. I need it now, 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 quick. That's why there's drive-thrus. I need it. Nobody wants to wait for nothing. Amen. Amen. Amen? Number three, if I let it go, then I could let myself grow. I got to learn that I got to let some things go so I could start letting some things grow. You can't hold on to everything, because what you're holding on to is suffocating the new thing God's wanting to bring in your life. You get anything out of this? Last year, at this same time, I was on a beach, and I was at the beach, and my son has done such an amazing job. He's really, he's preaching, he's taking over our youth ministry, and just doing a phenomenal work. And there is somewhere around 400, sometimes 500 teenagers on a Wednesday night, regularly every Wednesday night, showing up to church. He started having a camp. There's like 500-600 kids at a summer camp every summer. I mean, just blowing up, just ridiculous football teams, and the running backs, the quarterbacks getting saved. And they've asked him to speak at the school has an FCA. The schools do it in our area. They rented out the football stadium, had an FCA, and they had this professional athlete football player coming to be the main speaker, and there was thousands are going to be there. Well, right day before the professional football player was going to be there speaking, and all the schools and everybody was coming together, they found out that that guy had some things in his life that really wasn't going to be the best representation in front of all those kids. So they canceled him at the last minute. They have nobody to be the speaker, so they called and asked my son to be the speaker. He went and spoke at it, and all of a sudden, the quarterback on the team that was taking them to state got saved. The running back got, I mean, a revival broke out. So anyways, just amazing. Still happening today. Because that's the God we serve, the God that's too much. He's the God's almighty. My son come to me and said, Dad, there's no way. I mean, I've never preached. I've never done that before. I've only been preaching to the youth. I said, son, you serve an El Shaddai God. He's the God of more than enough. He'll put more in you. You learn to draw from the well that is on the inside of you. Don't look on the outside. Learn to pull up from the inside. Come on, somebody, put an amen. So anyways, this process began to happen, and so our church was almost paid off, and I began to think, you know what, I was on the beach like, Lord, I'm thinking, I'm just ready to turn the church over to my son, I'm getting ready to make some transition, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm standing on the beach. Last year at this same time, I was on the beach just standing there like, Lord, I'm just getting ready to maybe turn it, church is almost out of debt, I could turn it over to my kids, they could take it over, and I just started enjoying doing this and that, da-da-da-da-da. And while I'm standing here on the beach looking at the ocean, I heard the Lord as plain as my wife talking to me. Because, you know, you learn to listen to your wife's voice. That's the second Holy Spirit that I have. Amen. I've learned that Holy Spirit, that voice on the inside says, don't go there. Don't say that, right? And you do it, and you're like, man, I should have not done it, right? So her voice is the same way. So she says, you shouldn't call them back. You shouldn't say that. Afterwards, she's like, I told you. Just as much as that voice to me, I heard the Lord say, are you ready for the next? I said, Lord, that's exactly why I'm out here on this beach talking to you about Chasten taking over. He goes, no, I still have more. It's time for your next thing. See, the children of Israel, when they were in the promised land, they were in the wilderness, God was not going to let them advance to the land of more than enough till they passed the test in just enough. Come on. And when God was speaking to me, he says, Chad, I still have more for you. There's still more in store for you. There's still more ahead of you. Yeah, I know you see this and you can see how it works out. And I know all that is good, but Chad, there's still more in store because I'm a too much God. I'm an almighty God. I'm more than enough. Whatever you think, I go beyond that. Whatever you can ask me, I do bigger than that. And the Lord took me to the scripture, and if you go there with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and as I was sitting there on the beach, the Lord began to talk to me about this in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I believe they got it to put on the screen for you, but if not, I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. It says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love God. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice or watching on that camera right now on this service that loves God? Do you know you are qualified for what I'm about to release to you, what I'm about to prophesy to your life? Because the next thing I heard the Lord say to me on that beach, he said, then Chad, ask me again. See, I stopped asking. Because sometimes in whatever position you're in, wherever you find yourself, you can be looking at an ending when God's looking at a beginning. Come on now. You may be looking at what's just enough and how am I going to do anything else because I only have just enough. But we serve El Shaddai that is more than enough. And he wants to take you from not enough to just enough to more than enough. Don't nobody shout, run no cartwheels, please calm down, take it easy. See, he said to me, Chad, the next thing I want to do, you haven't seen it yet. You've not even heard it yet. Oh yeah, you've seen some great things. You've seen me do some things. I was in Haiti and I seen a witch doctor put a spell on a man's leg and it turned in from his knee down to an elephant's leg, and the missionary I went lay hands on him and immediately healed. A miracle happened. I was smuggling Bibles into communist China, got arrested and was put in and when I was about 15, 16 years old, I was arrested and put into a holding cell for 5 hours. Didn't know if I was ever going to get out of there because we were on a mission trip smuggling Bibles into communist China. Saw God deliver me out of there. So I've seen God do some great things. I've seen some miracles. I've watched God do some things that are above and beyond I could have ever asked, I could ever imagine. He said, Chad, if you're ready for the next thing, and this is what I prophesied to you today, if you're ready for the next. He said, Chad, ask me again, but don't ask me based on what you've seen. Don't ask me based on what you've heard before. The next part of that verse says, the things I've got prepared for you, it's not even entered your heart yet. It's not even entered your mind yet. You've not even thought about what God is about to do in your life. Where God's about, where God's about to take you. What God's about to do in your family and your marriage and everything you touch. Yeah. I was on that beach and I'm like, God, oh my, oh, because if you're not careful like me, I start asking based on what I've seen. God, if you could just do what you've done, I'll be happy with that. He says, no, the next I have, and I want you to ask me again, it needs to be based on, God, I want to see what I've never seen before. God, I want to hear what I've never, I'll make sure I don't fall off this stage. I want to hear what I've never heard before. God, I want to dream what I've not thought about before. I want to walk in what I've never even dreamed of walking in before. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. Am I talking to anybody in this church? If I'm talking to you, stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout of praise. You can be seated. Thank you. My wife said, honey, you're on sabbatical, Pastor Evan. He gets somebody. I said, when God told me, Chad, when I open a door in 24, this is the message I want you to share. Don't change it. Deliver this message. Because others find themselves in the place, been a long time trying to get their debt paid, get out of debt. Where my problem would be with me is, if I get out of debt, talk about the ministry, I could take it easy. Might not have 40-day fast that often. Come on, I might not really, might not be digging in as much. Might start coasting. See, learning to handle just enough qualifies you for more than enough. Because if you learn to manage what you got, you can enjoy what you don't need. But if you're living, if your needs got needs, amen. But I heard the Lord say to me, he said, Chad, where I'm the next thing, you need to ask me again, but you need to be thinking on what you've not thought. Because the plans I still have for you, and I'm speaking to you in this room right now, the next thing God has for you, you've not seen it yet. Pastor, I've seen some good things. Praise the Lord, God been good to me. I've seen God do some great things. That's wonderful. And we cheer God and we shout hallelujah. But God wants to do above and beyond whatever you could imagine or think. He wants to go far beyond your thought pattern, your asking pattern. He wants to go way beyond that. Amen. See, he told me to write these down and I gave them to you a minute ago, but I'm going to put them in this order here that number one, you, ma'am, sir, have been made for more. You've done some great things. You might have got some degrees. You might have a lot of education behind you. You might have had all these kids and raised them up and done, you might accomplish some great things. You might have a great plan, a great dream ahead of you. You might already be doing some great things. You might have already charted a great course. But God says, I made you for more. He does not disqualify what you've done. He just says, based on what I've seen, I've made you for more than what I've seen. There's still more. Number two is there's still more in store. Come on, somebody shout, there's more in store. Number three, God wants to do more. Haggai chapter 2 says, the glory of the latter house, verse 9, shall be greater than the glory of the former house. He's not talking about that Egypt house. He's talking about what you've already seen me do, what you've already experienced me do. The glory of the latter house is going to far outdo the glory of this first house. Come on, somebody. What you've been walking in, baby, what you've been doing right now in the things of God, he says the glory of the latter will far outdo the glory of the former. You need to get ready. You need to ask again. You need to believe again. You need to stretch again. Amen. My son's youth camp last summer, they jam-packed the place out. They couldn't fit all the students at this Baptist campground. And so I went and spoke at the camp. It was a great move of God. And then when it was over with, I left and went on back. My wife on her way home was just, they were talking like, man, we just need a better camp. We need a bigger camp. We want to reach more kids. Da-da-da-da-da. And my son, got home, he starts searching for property to purchase. And what he found was this piece of land, 109 acres with a chapel on it and all kind of things where it could be a youth camp. And next thing I know, I get a text from my wife sending me this property, $3.75 million. And she sends me this property and she goes, me and the kids are on our way out there. Chastin found this. We're going to go look at this. We need to buy this. And starts telling me, God spoke. God, we need to have this campground. And I just like, nope. Nope. See, because in my thought pattern was the church is almost out of debt. We've been $5 million in debt. We are close to almost being debt free. Hallelujah. 24 years of ministry. Thank you, Jesus. I'm moving to the beach. Hallelujah. They went out there three different times. On the fourth time, my wife came home and said, honey, would you please just go out there? I said, I'm going to tell all of y'all one thing right now. We're not buying no more property. I'm not going out there. I don't need to go out there. Not going to do it. So they get out there and they're all FaceTiming me. Dad, look, look, look. There's four lakes on the property. Look, 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 look. Buildings, a house out there. Beautiful. I glanced at it for a second. I was like, I better quit looking at that. What you look at the longest becomes the strongest. Come on. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there are no people, the vision perishes. So without none of them, I went out to the property, thought I'd just do a drive-by. Let me go spy out the land. You know, the spies had to go spy out the land, right? As soon as I got on the property and stepped out and got on the property, the Lord said, this is the next. You've never thought about this. You wanted to be out of debt, but you started with zero 24 years ago, found in the church. And I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've supplied everything. Now you're almost debt free. All your properties. We have another 140 acres of land. Everything we've got. We got a campus in Austin. Everything is just that close to just a few $100,000 debt free. Everything paid off. And I'm ready to enjoy the... I don't care if a fly preaches on Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Swat at it. Hey, hey. Got on that property. Lord said, this is the next. The people on the property had to sell it in 30 days. Had to be gone, sold 30 days. A wedding venue. Has 2 years worth of weddings booked. Has to be gone. 109 acres. Has a cornfield on it. Has everything. Your pastor. God spoke to me. I said, God, how am I going to do this? He said, ask 100 people to be one of 100 to give $5,000. They need to do it in 28 days. Raise $500,000 for down payment. Purchase the property. I'm like, God, I ain't never did what. And he said, I'm taking you. What you've never seen before. What you've never heard. what's never been in your mind yet. If you want to go where you've never gone, you got to learn to start doing what you've never done. Pastor Eben, I sent out a few friends that I know believe in our church. And Pastor Eben is number one. I sent to about 10 guys. Within seconds, $5,000 from Pastor Eben showed up in the account. Amen. Pastor MacGyver was number two. $5,000 showed up. And God said, I will speak to people to be one of 100 if you'll ask me again. But don't ask me based on what I have done. Ask me what you've never seen, what you've never heard, what's never entered into your mind yet of the things I've got prepared. Sit down, sit down. I got to end. I've got to get out of here. Within 28 days, almost $600,000 came in. In the middle of that, someone tried to want to offer to buy a piece of property for our, from our church, and we owned some land. The land only paid $114,000 for 20 acres of this land. Someone came to buy 2 acres, 5 acres, and offered me $1 million, $1.6 million for 4 acres. My elders said, what are you going to do? I said, so. You heard a soul train. I said, soul. Out of nowhere. Yes, he will. I got to get out. But listen, I was thinking, God's been great. We've done great things. Others could take the ball, could pass the baton. Listen, leaders have to lead. And just because you've done some great things does not mean God don't got greater. You're with me? Anyways, we purchased the property. We have the property now, and we're working towards it. It's a beautiful piece of property. We was able to put over $1.5 million down, and God's just doing a miracle through it. But I believe this with all my heart, I'd have never seen it if when I was on that beach that day, thinking about winding it down, handing the ball off, we're close to being debt free, because debt, I didn't want to have debt. Hello? There's good debt, there's bad debt. I didn't want any debt. I want to be able to sleep at night. You follow what I'm saying? So next, all I know is God said, if you don't ask me and learn to start asking me based on what you've never seen, what you've never heard, what you're not even entered your mind yet of things that I say I still have planned for you. As you stand and we pray today, God still has more in store for you. Would you close your eyes with me this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, I know you know each one here today. There's no one here by an accident. You might have rerouted some, but they're here right on time. Due season. It's a due time. It's a due appointment. God, I pray today that in their spirit, there'll be a witness right now. That today, you're talking to them. That they know, they know, that they know, that they know. It's me, Lord. It's me. God, if you send him all the way here just for me, my answer is yes. In Jesus' name. you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe